I want to thank you for the choir special. I hope that we can have more of these as we go along, because I think they're very uplifting and everybody enjoys them. I think I'm accurate in making the statement that everybody here is thankful for God's amazing grace. The song, you know, we sing it a lot. I don't mean too repetitively, but it's so well known. But it strikes a chord in all of us, especially on occasions that we feel are kind of special and touching, as I feel like this Memorial Day service is. Now, folks, I realize this is not Veterans Day. There's a big difference between Veterans Day and Memorial Day. But if you are a veteran, and you can, I'd like to ask you to stand. Is anybody here who has served in our armed services? I know that there are. And folks, I want to say thank you for your service. And I'm very grateful to the Lord that we can celebrate you on Veterans Day and that you're not on the roll call tomorrow on Memorial Day. For God's grace, you are here, and we are thankful, and we thank you for your service and all that you have done. Now, folks, I told you this would be a Memorial Day message, and it's what God has placed on my heart. If any of you have family members, or even if you know somebody who was lost in any service to our country, please raise your hand. It's almost all of us. Either have a family member or know somebody that has been lost in service to our country. Folks, today's message, I want to look at it both from a secular perspective, but also from a biblical perspective, because we find reasons to support and to honor our fallen on this weekend. You know, usually this is a weekend now where people just do a lot of fun activities and barbecue, and all that's fine, because you know what? The freedoms that have been afforded to us allow us to do those things. But it is also a solemn day to remember those people that paid the ultimate sacrifice for freedoms. And it is biblical to give them the honor that they are due. In Romans 13:7, we find, render therefore to all their due. Taxes to whom taxes are due. Customs to whom customs. Fear to whom fear. And honor to whom honor is due. And honor is due all people that have served our country in the various capacities that they've been called to do. And folks, I think that we do a pretty good job of that as a nation. It ebbs and flows. But I want to share a couple of quotes with you. And we'll get deeper into the Lord's Word in just a moment. But the first quote comes from a song that I think everybody knows. And I pray this is reflective of your heartfelt sentiments. And I'm proud to be an American. Where at least I know I'm free, and I won't forget the men who died, who gave that right to me, Lee Greenwood. That song came out after the Twin Towers fell, or right about that time. Our patriotism was at an all-time high after we were attacked. And so it should be. And folks, it should be something that we don't take for granted. We need to recognize the blessings God has shed on this country, and we need to be thankful for them. We need to be proud that we are Americans, that we have the liberties that we have, and never forget those men and women that died so that we could preserve the liberties that we celebrate and enjoy on a daily basis, but unfortunately take for granted far too often. Harry Truman said the following, "Our debt to the heroic men and valiant women in the service of our country can never be repaid. They have earned our undying gratitude. America will never forget their sacrifices." And folks, we need to remember that they were sacrifices. And in so many cases, as tomorrow, they were the ultimate sacrifice. People gave their lives in duty to their country. And we'll go into that just a little bit more. But folks, we do have a debt of gratitude that is owed these people. And it is shameful if we don't take time to to recognize and honor those people, to say a prayer for those people today, tomorrow, and pray for those grieving families that have lost loved ones, and to recognize that freedom is not free. It extracted a heavy price. That's true both secularly and biblically. But folks, you know, we're human nature. When we get comfortable, we get complacent. And sometimes we don't recognize our blessings as we should. The following quote comes from what's called a graffiti poem. It was written on a wall in New York City. "God in the soldier doth all men adore in time of war and not before. When the war is over and all things righted, God is forgotten and the soldier slighted." How true that is. But that poem was written back in 1770, before the Revolutionary War. You see, it's human nature. When things are going really good, we begin to backslide a little bit, and we don't go to before the throne of grace the way we should. When we're too abundantly blessed, we get not only forgetful of God, but we get forgetful of the people that sacrificed so we can enjoy our blessings. Ronald Reagan said the following, and folks, I say this to us all because it's incumbent upon us all to do this, but I especially think of the younger people here and even the generation where Eli and Reese will be responsible to move this forward. This applies to you. Remember these words. Freedom has never been more than one generation away from extinction. We didn't pass it to our children in the bloodstream. It must be fought for and protected and handed on for them to do the same. You see, folks, if we don't fight for our freedoms, they will be taken away. Now, I don't believe there's anybody here that gets uncomfortable with that statement. But in some churches, there are. Some people don't like to think about fighting. But folks, I want you to, again, I said we're going to take a secular view and a biblical view. Fighting for freedoms and for God's word has been necessary throughout the existence of people. But first, I want to look at Memorial Day as we think about the benefits that we enjoy and the sacrifices that were given. Think about these following facts for just a moment. Some of these folks are very close estimates and approximations. That doesn't matter because they still embody the sacrifices of what's occurred. Memorial Day was first observed on May 30th in 1868. It originally was known as Decoration Day because it was a time set aside to honor the nation's Civil War dead by decorating their graves. I didn't put it in here, but folks, in studying for this message, Abraham Lincoln was afraid that he would be the last president of the United States. You stop right here and think for just a moment of the sacrifices that were made in the Revolutionary War, which is not mentioned here in these facts, and in the Civil War. What if the British and the French had gotten more involved in the Civil War? Our country wouldn't be the same as it is now. Those things were close to occurring. We sing Amazing Grace. How different things could have been. And we think about those sacrifices and those women who decorated the graves back then on both sides of the Civil War. Later on, World War I, the observance began to honor those who had died in all of America's wars, not just the Civil War. And then later, coming forward the last 20th century, 1971, Congress declared Memorial Day a national holiday, which included the military, the police, and all who serve our country in whatever the capacity may be, because folks have died in serving their country in lots of different ways. In the Civil War, the estimates of the men that died, it ranges a low of 620 to 850,000, and some estimate even more. World War I, 116,000 American soldiers were killed. World War II, 407,000 soldiers died. 54,000 died in the Korean War. And if we stop right there for just a moment, if you think about what would happen in World War I and World War II without America's involvement, how different would Europe be if Germany, when they conquered France, never gave it back up? If it from World War I, if all the land they captured, If they had continued on even in World War II, how more enriched they would have been. They would have had the resources. They had the knowledge to advance the atomic bomb. How different could the world have been? But American soldiers got involved too, as well as, of course, others. But we are counting the American soldiers that died. In Vietnam, you know, we think of Vietnam as a forgotten war, and Korean War to some degree too. We fought to help stop the spread of communism, but communism was running rampant and spreading, and many of you remember this as vividly, if not more so than I do. Those Vietnam vets were never paid the respect that they were entitled to. 58,000 Vietnam vets died to help stop the spread of communism. And folks, if you want to take a hard look at communism, look at China now. You can't openly worship in China anymore. It's been taken away. 148 American soldiers died in the first Gulf War. In Afghanistan, in the first invasion, the first time we went into Afghanistan, 185 died. And then in the second time we were involved in Iraq, 1,648 soldiers died. And folks, more have accumulated since then. But in total, more than a million Americans have died in the wars that we've been involved in. Each one of those that died were loved by someone. They were a son, a dad, an uncle, a brother, a grandfather, a mother, a sister, a daughter. A loved one that sacrificed. Every one of those men paid and women that are celebrated tomorrow. And why is it celebrated? They're recognized and we're thankful for their service. But they paid the ultimate price for the freedoms that we enjoy. And folks, too often we take that for granted. The freedoms that we have in this country. Today we are free. We're free to pray. We're free to open worshipfully. Not many countries anymore can you do that. We have the freedom of speech. We have the freedom to assemble. We have the freedom to vote because of all those that have died before us. Folks, make no mistake, there were lots of attempts to take those freedoms away. Sometimes we have to fight that against that now. And we will again in the future. We need to be thankful. Are we grateful like we should be, truly, for all those people that paid the ultimate sacrifice? I hope and pray that we are. You see, it takes a conscious effort. Like that quote from Ronald Reagan, it's just one generation away from extinction. But now I want you to think about it from a different perspective as we get more into what the Bible has to say. I don't think there's a person here, maybe Eli and Reese, if they don't know it now, they'll know it in the future. Maybe they'll go home and have a question about this, who General George Patton was. But General Patton said the following: "It is foolish and wrong to mourn the men who died. Rather, we should thank God such men lived." Have you ever thought about that? Thanking God for those brave men and women who died in service to their country. I'm going to tell you that is a biblical perspective. You may not think it is. You know, narratives are presented through every generation and through the media. And that influences history. Sometimes there's revisions that take place. But I'm going to tell you, the more you look into the character of the military men and women, they are noble, noble qualities that those men and women possess. And yes, we need to be thankful that such men and women of valor lived as those that paid the ultimate sacrifice that we recognize tomorrow on Memorial Day. Now, folks, it's time to turn to God's Word. This is what people said. Now, what does God's Word tell us? In Ecclesiastes, and we'll come back to this later, these already. There's a time to love, a time to hate, a time of war, and a time of peace. Now that statement right there kind of goes contrary to the counterculture that sometimes is more prevalent in our country than others. Some people want to think, oh, everything's just love and peace. But it's not. Jesus himself said that there will be wars and rumors of wars until the very end. And if we look back through the Bible, from Abraham forward, every patriarch almost was involved in some type of battle, some type of war. God leading them in wars in many cases. You see, there is a time of war, and there's a time of peace. But folks, there are times when men and women have to stand in the gap. And I'm not going to that message of standing in the gap of rebuilding the wall in Jerusalem, though I would love to, but just not today. There are times when we have to stand up and fight, even now. We're not in uniform, anybody standing here, but that doesn't mean that we're not soldiers of the cross, that we're not Christian soldiers. We are. And I want to follow for just a moment what George Patton said. Thank God that such men lived. That God instilled in the hearts of his people the valor and the courage to be a soldier when called upon. First example, turn to me to Psalms 18. And here, these are the words of David. Psalm 18, verses 31 through 35. And these are the words of David, and he's talking about himself. David was a shepherd. He was a king. He was a servant. And he was a soldier. For who is God except the Lord? And who is a rock except our God? It is God who arms me with strength and makes my way perfect. He makes my feet like the feet of deer and sets me on high places. He teaches my hands to make war so that my arms can bend a bow of bronze. You have also given me the shield of your salvation. Your right hand has held me up. Your gentleness has made me great. You enlarged my path under me, so my feet did not slip. You see, folks, God is saying, David is saying that it is God who equipped him to fight. You know, David wasn't allowed to build the temple because he had shed so much blood. But David didn't go out conquering, trying to enlarge his territory. No, he fought against the battles. His battles he fought were against enemies that tried to invade Israel and against the abominable practices of the heathen nations that sacrificed their own children to false gods. You see, he was God's warrior. God equipped him. There are times when God equips men and women to extinguish evil. We don't like to think about that, but that's true, and we can find it throughout the Bible. There are times when God causes wars to effectuate his purpose. And we need to recognize that. And if you think that sounds funny, well, throughout the Bible, don't we find? He is God, not us. And nobody can say to him, what doest thou? But we need to be thankful that he does equip men and women for the purpose when it's called upon them. Turn with me to Deuteronomy 20, 1 through 4. And again, there are many examples that we can find in the Bible. Deuteronomy 20, 1 through 4. And here, God is talking to these soldiers, the Israelites, when they go into war. And folks, I will tell you from first-hand accounts that I have, because as you all know, I have a brother who has been involved in the military in every modern campaign until he retired. All around this world. And the stories he shared with me, the faith that goes into the hearts of people when they go on the battlefield is real. And here God is telling these soldiers and the Israelites, when you go in the battle against your enemies, and you see there's that word again, enemies. Folks, don't be so naive to think that we don't have enemies, because we do. And see horses and chariots and people more numerous than you. Do not be afraid of them, for the Lord your God is with you, who brought you up from the land of Egypt. So it shall be, when you are on the verge of battle, that the priest shall approach and speak to the people, and he shall say to them, Hear, O Israel, today you are on the verge of battle with your enemies. Do not let your heart faint. Do not be afraid. Do not tremble or be terrified because of them, for the Lord your God is he who goes with you to fight for you against your enemies, to save you. Who do we trust in? I can tell you that there's a lot of people that claim they're atheists. But when they're facing life and death situations, suddenly they start praying to God. Who do we trust in? The Bible tells us to trust not in ourselves, but to trust in the Lord above. And folks, I would tell you that for a very large part, our military men and women do. I want to share with you a portion of the U.S. Armed Forces Code of Conduct. To me, I find this encouraging. And this is given to every military person that's in the military. I am an American fighting in the forces which guard my country and our way of life. I am prepared to give my life for their defense. I will never surrender of my own free will. I will never forget that I am American fighting for freedom, responsible for my actions, and dedicated to the principles which made my country free. I will trust in my God and in the United States of America. And folks, I don't know of any other military around the world where part of their code is, I will trust in God. The American forces still do. I'm thankful that that is still part of our military. I'm thankful that there are people serving in the military, both men and women, who trust in God, who just like these Israelites that went into battle, trusted in the Lord to go with them. But folks, I want to tell you that we're in a battle too. And this applies to us, and I think this code of conduct should apply to us. We need to be fighting for our freedoms. Those military men and women did, and they paid the ultimate sacrifices in some cases. But folks, it's pretty naive to think that we don't fight every day, or we should be fighting. We are in a spiritual battle. And it's time to start thinking about our country and our participation in it. Because we have a responsibility to each other. Ephesians tells us, put on the whole armor of God so that you might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all, to stand. Folks, we are in a spiritual battle. And it's growing ever more fierce in our country. How can we think that we can just stand on the sidelines and ignore it? We can't. We have to be participants. We have to be Christian soldiers too on a spiritual level. And we need to be supporting those that are even on the material, physical level, those soldiers that are fighting for our freedoms, because make no mistake, if other countries had their way, and they do it in a diabolical, subservient way of infiltrating our government and elected officials to try to take away our freedoms, the freedoms to worship, the freedoms to vote, the freedom of speech. We need to be thankful and recognize these freedoms, and they need to be so valuable to us that, yes, we are willing to fight for them both on a physical level, but on a spiritual level. We need to be praying. This ties into another portion of this U.S. Armed Forces Code of Conduct. And the following article states this, and I want you to put yourself in this place of a soldier or any serviceman. Could you say the same? How does it apply to you as a Christian soldier? I will never surrender the members of my command while they still have the means to resist. If I am captured, I will make every effort to escape and to aid others to escape. And folks, I can tell you from the firsthand stories that my brother has shared with me, this is true. That Marine slogan, no man left behind, applies to all branches of the military. When a person is wounded in battle, they do everything possible to extract them. When a serviceman or woman falls, they do everything to recover them. No person is ever left behind without Herculean efforts to do whatever they can to recover them. Talk about dignity. Talk about noble character. These men and women on the battlefield possess such qualities. George Patton was right. We need to be thankful that God has equipped such men and that they lived. That they weren't cowardly and deserted. That they have enough love to extend to their brothers and sisters in arms that they sacrifice and they're willing to sacrifice, in some cases do sacrifice their own selves to save those that have been wounded and fallen. That's the character of our military men and women. And we need to honor them. They are due it. And folks, we need to learn from this. Because as Christians, perhaps you've never thought about it this way, are we fighting to recover the fallen? Are we fighting to recover the lost? We're so doggone apathetic in this nation now, as Christians, we are not to the degree that we need to be. All Christians must never surrender our country and our neighbors and our citizens who we think don't care about church or aren't in the church or aren't worshiping God the way they need to be. We need to be praying for those people because they are our neighbors, our friends, our associates. You might say they are in our army that fall under our command, and we need to be praying for them. We should not be so willingly to give up on those that we deem that are lost. We need to pray for the lost each and every day. It is our Christian responsibility. We need to fight for them and have the courage to speak out. Others spoke out in the past. They stood up for their freedoms. And there are people around the world that speak out for God every day, and they lose their lives for it. Folks, we have so much in this country. We need to take a hard look at ourselves and compare ourselves to those in the military, and especially those that paid the ultimate sacrifice. You see, honor and duty called. Their faith was strong, and when it was required, they even gave the ultimate sacrifice. How so far short do we fall in our duties to each other? Shouldn't we love each other with all of our hearts and all of our souls? Shouldn't we have courage to speak out in defense of the weak? Those whose faith is weak? Those who need our prayers in whatever capacity that is called for? We should. Because, folks, God remembers us, doesn't He? How many times have we in our lives been on our knees in prayer, asking for God's grace to fall upon us? We need to pray for others, too. We have a pretty full prayer list. We need to be praying for them. We need to be praying for people in our community that God will touch your hearts and call some of these people into whatever church it may be. And we pray for our church that some will come here, that God will touch your hearts. You see, we need to be praying. That is something as a Christian soldier that we can be doing. And we need to be courageous. Billy Graham said the following: courage is contagious. When a brave man takes a stand, the spines of others are often stiffened. Sometimes it takes just one person to stand up and speak out, be it in this community, our signs speaking out. I'm so thankful for the messages that Sister Dale puts on it. But sometimes it takes more than just a written sign. It takes people. It takes people in our communities, not only in our churches, but wherever we may go. We need to speak out. We need to be bold Christians. We need to have that military code of conduct within our hearts to remember that other people need our prayers. That's the way that we can fight for them, as those brave military men and women fought for us. Jesus said in the Gospel of John, chapter 15, 13, "Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends." Of course, Jesus was speaking about himself, because God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whomsoever shall believe in him shall never die and will never perish. Jesus was willing to lay down his life for us who were weak. Christ died for us while we were still sinners. You see, he loved. I'm going to tell you, I've heard a lot of stories. But those men and women on the battlefield, they love too. Some wounded people do the most heroic and brave things. to save another who may not be wounded as bad as they are, but they still need aid and still need help. What a true statement that Jesus said here. And we need to take it to heart. Greater love than this has no man than to lay down one's life for his friends. You see, folks, that's the love that Jesus has for us. On Memorial Day, we also need to recognize the greatest sacrifice of all, the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, because he loved us. If we put ourselves in that position of needing a warrior to fight for us, Jesus Christ came as the Lamb. But we know in the book of Revelation that when he comes back, he will be the Lion. You see, Jesus fought for us. In John chapter 10, turn with me in your Bibles if you have it. If not, it's on the PowerPoint. John chapter 10, verses 14 through 30. And we talk about noble acts. We talk about loving acts. We talk about the love of God. Jesus fought for us because we couldn't fight for ourselves in this capacity. I am the good shepherd. And you see, the shepherd is the commander. If you want to look at it from a military perspective. And folks, in the near future, I pray that I want to do a series on the 23rd Psalm, "The Lord is my shepherd." Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and I am known by my own." Thank God for his amazing grace that he has revealed himself to us, because we are the sheep of his pasture. "As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold. Them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. Therefore my Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. And I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it up again. This command I have received from my Father." Jesus Christ willingly came to sacrifice for me and you, because we couldn't pay that price. I told you we'd come back to this for just a moment. And as we begin to close, folks, we need to take this a little more to heart now. Ecclesiastes, a time to love, a time to hate, a time of war, and a time of peace. Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd, and I lay down my life for the sheep." Christ loved. He loved so much that he gave himself as a sacrifice for us. While we were sinners, he died for us. We owe a debt of gratitude to the Lord that can never be repaid. A time to hate. The world hates us because it hated Jesus first. That's what he told his disciples. Folks, there will always be hate against us. Again, I tell you that we are soldiers of the cross. We are Christian soldiers too. And we have to recognize that there are those that hate us. We need to pray for them. But don't be naive. It will never go away. So we need to equip ourselves just like God equipped David, just like Paul told us to take up the whole armor of God. Because there is a time of war, both physically and spiritually. And there is a time of peace. Because of what Jesus Christ did, now we have peace with God. Now, folks, I want you to take another turn. Turn to me to the book of Revelations. You may say, how does this tie in to a Memorial Day message? Well, I think it does. I pray that it does. I pray that it will fall upon your hearts to understand it. And that I can deliver it, because it's the Lord's word. It's not my word. You know, we think about all those people that have been lost. And sometimes the critics will come up and say, well, why didn't God defend them on the battlefield? Well, I can tell you there are times when God does defend people and deliver them from circumstances through miraculous ways that cannot be explained other than by God's shield. I've talked to a lot of military people in my life, and I know you have too. And I don't... I won't go into all the stories, but I can tell you that there are people I knew. I used to be very fond of a man. His name was Mr. Johnson. And I had a lot of long conversations with him. We developed a strong friendship. He was in his 80s back when I was in my 30s. He fought in World War II. He was in the islands of Japan. He may have known Brother Langley. I don't know. But he saw a lot of fierce fighting. And he shared stories with me that were pretty hair-raising, that he didn't know how he survived those battles other than by God's grace. But we know that there are people that are lost in battle. Over a million that we just recited a moment ago. But folks, they are never lost to God. Read with me the following. Revelation chapter 6, 9 through 11. And it starts out when he, and that he is Jesus Christ. John has been given this revelation from on high. And he's seeing things that people had not seen till this time. And this is revealed to him, and it is Jesus Christ opening these seals of these scrolls. And when he opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of those who had been slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. You see, folks, that Christian warfare I talked about is still going on today. There are people being killed for the word of God. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, "How long, O Lord, holy and true, until you judge and avenge our blood on those who dwell on the earth?" Then a white robe was given to each of them, and it was said to them that they should rest a little while longer, until both the number of their fellow servants and their brethren, who would be killed as they were, was completed. Notice what was just said. There will be more that will be slain. And folks, that will be the case. There will be those who are slain and martyred for Christ's sake from now until the last day when the Lord returns. We are in battle and warfare too. And we need to equip ourselves as best we can to fight the spiritual battle. And sometimes it spills over to the physical as well. Some of the wars that we have been involved in, had we not, can you think of the evil that would have advanced in this world had it not been for those brave men and women who so valiantly gave their lives? More will be killed. But God knows them. And folks, God holds them in His hand. We are not lost to the Lord. We are never lost to the Lord. Psalms 116:15 tells us, "Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints." Because He holds us all in His hands, folks. And nothing can separate us from the love of God. Now turn with me over again. And I want you to see this aspect of war. Revelation 12:7-12. Spiritual warfare here, folks, but it applies to me and you. And war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought with the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought, but they did not prevail, nor was a place found for them in heaven any longer. So the great dragon was cast out, and the serpent of old, called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world, he was cast to earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, "Now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of His Christ have come. For the accuser of our brethren, who accused them before God day and night, has been cast down. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they did not love their lives to the death. Therefore rejoice, O heaven, and you who dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea, for the devil has come down to you, having great wrath, because he knows that he has a short time." And folks, we have to be prepared to fight against the devil now. Because as Peter said, he walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Are we prepared? Are we willing to love our lives not to the death, as was mentioned here, for the cause of God, for God's word? Many military men and women did. But folks, we know the end of the story. John wrote it for us over in chapter 21. And I told you that God's children, His saints, are never lost. Not even in battle when our physical life is required. Revelation 21, verses 1 through 4. And this is what we will all experience because of what Christ did for us. Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Also there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. You see, those former things of war are gone because of what Jesus did for us. Because he was willing to fight for us when we couldn't fight for ourselves. When we were yet sinners, folks, never forget, Christ loved us so much that he died for us while we were sinners. As we think about Memorial Day tomorrow, we need to remember and dignify and pay the honor that those fallen men and women are due on Memorial Day who love so much their country, their countrymen, their neighbors, their families, that they died for them. They are due that honor. But likewise, and we need to remember Jesus Christ, who willingly died for us so that he could redeem us from our sins. And we need to remember, folks, be it the horrific conditions of the battlefield, be it the conditions that we live in now, no matter what, God has his eye on the sparrow, and he has his eyes on me and you. And nothing can separate us from the love of God. Romans 8:38-39 tells us, For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. On Memorial Day, remember Jesus Christ, who redeemed us from our sins, so that we can live forever through him. Thank him for his amazing grace. And thank him that he placed in the hearts of valiant men and women the noble character to be soldiers and, when required, to pay the ultimate sacrifice. May the Lord add his blessings as my prayer for us. Brother Marlon.